Well, I'm wearing rose vestments. I know they look pink. I want to remind you, I was an all-state football player. So was Mike. And Mike Elbers. Anyway, I'm joking, but we wear this on the fourth Sunday of Lent because it's getting close. It's like we're a giddy little child. And Jesus offering himself, and the greatest act of selfless love is about to happen. And then he'll rise from the dead and bring salvation to all. It's getting close. And so we're filled with joy, which is what Laetare actually means, rejoice or joy. And so here we are. I want to tell you about my Friday. It was a joyful Friday. I started out obviously with it's Feast of the Annunciation, and that's amazing because I always contended that we have these beautiful Christmas celebrations, but we're pro-life and we understand that life begins at conception. That's what the Annunciation is. It's 9 months to the day, March 25th to December 25th, and it marks the day that Christ came into the world, but first in his mother's womb. And so it's a big deal. And that was the day that Pope Francis decided that he would pray a special prayer to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so we had Mass that morning, and a beautiful adoration, confession, and also it was that day that the bishop, originally Rome came out and said, it's going to be at 11 o'clock, so he asked the pastor over at Immaculate Heart of Mary Church, because of the name of the church, if we could have Mass there at 11 o'clock. Well, Rome came out with further details and said they're going to be doing this other thing, and it's the actual prayer is going to be at 12:30. Well, that ended up being perfect because the Mass at Immaculate Heart, by the way, I hadn't been there in years. I forgot how huge it is, and it was jammed. I mean, just before Mass started, they asked everybody to kind of move in to make room for more people. Just packed, and it was beautiful. And and I came to find out when I got back and I looked on the internet that virtually all other dioceses had the same experience. They had whatever they did, Mass or the prayer or rosary, but the church was packed wherever they held it. And so it was big. And but it was right at 12:25 that Bishop moved over to our Blessed Mother, to the side altar where the Blessed Mother was, and he waited until the second hand hit 12:30, and then he prayed the same prayer that Pope Francis was praying in Rome. Very, very, very powerful, very moving. Then I came back, and the youth from University of Wisconsin, St. Paul's, are here right now on their retreat. They do annual retreat here at our parish, and they were all rifling in, and that's amazing. Then we started Stations of the Cross. I don't know, it seemed like there was like twice as many people here. That was amazing. And then I took Mary Lou on a date to St. Ambrose musical, and I thought, this is gonna be great. No, blew me away, okay? Is there tickets left for this afternoon? You gotta go. Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. I've seen Broadway musicals. Pfft, nothing in comparison. It's just that good. So thank you, Angela, and everybody. Sam, you were in it. Anybody else here was in it? You were in it? It was unbelievable. Unfortunately, at intermission, I had to come back because I had to help out with confessions here. And I walk into the narthex. So first of all, let me highlight that the musical was beautiful and joyful, right? I walk into the narthex and they're doing the passion play here, the University of Wisconsin students. Unbelievable. And the choir, I mean, they should cut a CD. It was incredible. And so that was moving and joyful. And then I climbed into the confession and heard beautiful, beautiful confessions. These young people were obviously going to a deeper level. So that was joyful. How about that for a Friday? right? How about that for a feast of the Annunciation? And it was incredible. And I just wanted to share that because Laetare Sunday, rejoice, joy. Listen, we're called to be, as St. Paul said, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? It means that we've received a special gift, the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. But what is that? That's a pulsating life within us that can't be contained, that has to be shared. It's the joy that we receive. And on this Laetare Sunday, we get the prodigal son reading. I love this story. I have a beautiful painting by Murillo in the penitent side of the confessional back there. Pop in and see if you haven't seen it yet, or you've been there and maybe haven't noticed it, but it's just amazing. But it's the scene where the prodigal son is home. He's in his father's embrace. There's even a little puppy, you know, jumping up on his leg. He's happy he's home. They got the robe, the ring, the sandals, which is the sign of a prince. So he's being restored to his original dignity. Okay? I don't deserve to be called your son, he said. Treat me as one of your hired workers. Father doesn't even listen to him. Get the robe, the ring, the sandals. Kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a shindig. We're going to partay. Okay? But it's a feast for royalty. So let's be clear. No hired hand stuff. You are being completely restored to your original dignity. That's the mercy of God. That's amazing. And my favorite part of the story of the prodigal son. Remember this. The son left. And you're probably sitting there going, where's the search party? Why isn't the father going out to grab him by the neck and pull him home? Because that's not how it works. Because that would be by force, not by will. God is asking us for our love. Not some duty and we don't do it, we'll get punished. No. Although he's a dad, you know, he will try to help us sometimes that way. But it was the son's choice to separate himself from the father. And to live out there. And part of the story of the prodigal son is, look what happens. You're out in very dangerous territory when you're not in the embrace of God. You're easy pickings for the devil. Things aren't going to go well out there. And they didn't. And he ends up in the mud of the pigsty. And he can't even get the leftovers from the pigs. You know, it says in Revelations, oh, how I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I vomit you out of my mouth. Why do I bring that up right now? Because it's easy for us to settle into a routine of religion and kind of coast along. That's the lukewarm. And then we can, as ambassadors for Christ, teach others to do that. Why does our Lord say in Revelation, I wish you're hot or cold? What's the cold? Well, it's the pigsty. But when you're lukewarm, you're like, oh, I'm good. I don't even have to go to church. I can follow these commandments, but I don't want to follow these. Do you see what I'm saying? And we teach it. See, that's why it's so dangerous to be lukewarm. Cold, not so much. We recognize someone as completely removed from the Lord. We go, I can't go there. But lukewarm, well, that looks like something I could do. Kind of be half-hearted, kind of follow half the rules. You know, I could cuss and swear up a storm and, you know, basically do whatever I want. Because my ticket's punched. You see how dangerous that is as an ambassador for Christ? He wants us hot or cold, ready to make that pigsty conversion. But he wants us home. In his arms. That's the place of protection. Otherwise, the devil's going to beat us up, separated from him. That's what we've been doing for these 90 days. This is the tool we're using. We're trying to get here, not just right over there, away from God, away from his protection, away from his love, away from his power that is so infused into us that we can't help but share it with other people? And so my favorite part of the whole parable is he didn't send a search party, but here I'll read it. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him. You know what that means? Every day, every moment of every day, the father was looking on the horizon. Maybe it'll be today. I hope and pray it's today. I hope I see the silhouette of my son returning home. And then when he did, he was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. I don't know if you can see from there. I think that's my favorite image of all time. That's the father. His son, he caught sight of him. He's not even going to wait for him to come to him. He's going to run out. That's the love of God. That's what's offered to us at all times. When we decide to turn and come home, then he'll run after us. But see, we got to make it our choice. No search parties, no grabbing us by the collar and dragging us home. The father hoped and prayed every day. Maybe it'll be today. Can you imagine when he finally saw the silhouette? His heart is pounding so hard. I thought you were dead. And you're alive and you're coming home. You're coming home. Home. Home is where we need to be. Home is amazing. Home is the source of our joy. The source of our joy, so filled, it spills out into the life of those around us. We can't contain it. We have to give it away. It's incredible. There is no joy that could compare. No joy more long-lasting than the joy of being home in the arms of God. Holy Week is coming. We're getting closer and closer to the Lord. Let's do our best to let God embrace us. Let God fill us. And let's be those ambassadors for Christ, those ambassadors of joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.